Well, I don't know about you, but as we think about Jesus' last week on earth, I am mindful of the fact that this Lenten journey that we began almost 40 days ago is about to come to an end. What have you discovered on your particular Lenten journey? What has God revealed to you about you and your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? How actively have you participated in this Lenten journey? Let us pray. Loving and gracious Lord, our God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to bring to your people a word of life. Lead us and guide us, and we ask these petitions in Jesus Christ's name. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart bring you glory and honor. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but it has really been a journey for me. I love the Lenten season, and I love it because it forces me, like it forces you, to really do some serious self-examination to find out just where am I in alignment with Jesus Christ and where am I not in alignment with the one whom I've pledged my allegiance to. I won't tell you what I've discovered and what I'm discovering about me and my relationship with God through Jesus Christ as a result of this Lenten journey. I would encourage you to really think about what you've discovered. And if you haven't written it down, write it down and focus on it. Focus on it, not just during this Holy Week, but focus on it for the remainder of your life. So for today, I've chosen the topic, Chosen. How many of you have watched that series called Chosen? Or The Chosen? Right, I know. For some of you, it was like drinking a glass of water. You knew that on the day that episode came on, you were going to watch it. Now, for those of you who haven't watched it, it focuses on Jesus and his calling of his disciples. And I'll just share this with you. When I see how Jesus is depicted in The Chosen, a son of God, lover of God, and loves God's people, all people, and calls his disciples with tenderness as he engages with the world in a state of tenderness. Am I describing him correctly? For those of you who watch it, okay, I'm getting some nods. There's a part of me that cries out, oh, Lord, teach me, teach us, our congregation, how to see others and love others as you see them, as you love them, the tenderness, the compassion that Jesus displays. Am I getting it right? Okay. It would cause anyone to want to run and learn more about Jesus. And especially those who know that they've messed up. They've really messed up when it has come to living a life that should have been more pleasing to God. What have you been discovering on this particular journey called the Lenten journey? I want to talk to you just for a few moments about the gospel lesson and what can we glean from this gospel lesson. You've read it myriad of times. You know it by heart, be it that you read the account from one of the other gospels. You know that Jesus' face is fixed. He knows that his journey to Jerusalem will lead to his death on the cross. I'm not going to get ahead of the story because I want you to attend the Good Friday service at Grace United Methodist Church. But let me just share with you what Jesus knows is that he has come not to stay. He has come to reveal to humanity this awesome God who has been separated from humanity because of humanity's sins. You know the story, but let's look at this particular gospel lesson. The people, the crowd who are coming to Jerusalem for the festival, they hear that Jesus, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, this Jesus will be passing them by. And so what do? They praise him, right? What do? They take their clothing, and then they cut branches, and they say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Only one person raised her palm, Brad. Thank you, Karen. They say, Hosanna. They're excited. I don't know if you've ever longed for or hoped for or desired that something would happen to make a difference in your life. Because if you have, you can understand how they are feeling. They've been waiting for a Messiah. They have been living under oppressive power, be it from the political powers that be or the religious authorities. They have been living under oppression, and they are believing that Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus is the answer to their prayers. Have you ever been there? I have. Waiting and hoping and desiring that something or someone can step in and break me out of this paralysis, break me out of the bondage. My family and I have done a lot of hospital visits because of loved ones. And I've seen ageism practiced in hospitals. And I've seen people to indicate this is a closed system. It's a closed case. The person is that age. There's nothing else we can do. But a call is made. And someone intervenes. And what appeared to be a closed system, what appeared to be no answer for us, that call made the difference. Have you ever found yourself in a situation whereby you just thought all hope is gone, there's no help for me? If you've been there, then you can understand how the crowd felt on that day when they saw Jesus. The chosen one. And he's riding this donkey. They think he's the Messiah. Their minds go back to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that predicts the arrival of the King of Israel, not on a mare or a horse, no, but on a lowly animal. The colt of a donkey. They remember. But this Jesus, the one who was chosen, I want us to focus our attention on him because he will help us to better understand how to live life beyond the Lenten season. This Jesus, what does he reveal to us? If you want to live a fulfilling life, then lay aside your self-interest, your self-desires, and follow the will of God. Because here is someone who has chosen to be obedient to the will of God, which was to take on humanity's flesh, become one like human beings, experience what human beings experience, and yet be obedient unto the will of God unto death. What do you and I need to die to so that we can be obedient to God's will? What is it? He was obedient unto death. And yet in the gospel lesson, it says that because of his obedience, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. And I know we've said that name is Jesus. No, that name is Lord. Lord, which reveals who God is. And so the name that Jesus was given, Jesus the chosen one, was Lord. For truly, he revealed God's heart and God's mind. And I find it interesting that even as we talk about Jesus, we now have this epistle lesson that in essence says, and so, change your attitude. Make sure your attitude reflects not your personal preference, your private desires, but make sure your attitude reflects Jesus Christ. And Paul had to pin that to Christians because he found himself in a setting, in a jail, where there were people who were preaching the gospel, but they were preaching it not to lift up Jesus Christ. Mind you, there were some who were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because they wanted people saved, but there were others who preached the gospel because they wanted to rival Paul. They wanted Paul to become envious. They were preaching for self-glorification. And Paul says to his audience, look, make sure that the attitude you have is the attitude that Jesus Christ had. And that attitude was to be obedient to the will of God. I have a question for you. What can get in the way of our being obedient to God? I want to take us back very briefly to the gospel lesson, verse 16 especially, whereby we are reminded that, you know, the disciples were a part of this parade that Jesus led. But the verse says, but they didn't understand it until after they had been glorified. What can get in the way of our not being able to see what God is doing in our midst? Now, I would suggest to you that once the disciples were glorified, once they received the Holy Spirit, they were able to experience, they were able to understand what had happened to Jesus Christ. The good news for us is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we've received the Holy Spirit already. Amen? I don't care how you feel about the truth. The fact is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have received the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit and your mind is not synonymous. The Holy Spirit and your gut feeling is not synonymous. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity who, according to John, I think it's chapter 14, verse 16, is the advocate that Jesus Christ sends to lead Jesus Christ's people in all truth. What gets in the way of your not seeing what God is doing in your midst? It's not because we don't have the Holy Spirit. We do. I would suggest to you that some of the reasons why we are not able to see what God is doing in our midst is because, one, we think we know better than God what God should be doing once we pray to God. So we're looking for a particular answer. And if it doesn't come that way, then truly God has not been answering our prayers. I would suggest to you that what else gets in our way is we believe that we know God so well that there's nothing that can surprise us about how God is going to act next. I believe what can get in our way is that we are afraid of asking God, have your way in my life. May your will be done in my life. Because, beloved, because we don't understand who God is. I believe that what can get in our way is religion and ritual and not allowing the relationship to take precedence. Let me say that again. Religion and rituals are aids to help us to draw closer to the one who desires to be in a relationship with us, but the religion and the ritual are not substitutes for the relationship. Tell me about your relationship. Tell me about your relationship. So let me ask you this question. For some of us, this will be our 16th Lenten journey. We've been alive for 16 years. For others of us, it'll be our 40th Lenten journey. We've been alive for 40 years. For some of us, it will be our 65th Lenten journey. We've been alive for 60 plus years. For some of us, it will be our 70th plus Lenten journey. We've been alive for 70 plus. For some of us, it will be our 90 plus Lenten journey. Let me ask you this question. How has your life changed? How have you become more like Jesus Christ as a result of your Lenten journey? Let me ask it another way. How has your relationship with God deepened as a result of your Lenten journey? As I prepare to bring this to a close, this is what I'm mindful of. If we are to be the followers of Jesus Christ and the church that Jesus Christ is calling us to be, Evangel Heights United Methodist Church, we're going to make sure that nothing and no one gets in the way of our following our Lord and Savior, who demonstrated to us that we must seek after and be obedient to the will of God. I'm thankful on this Palm Sunday, I'm thankful to know that even when I may hesitate to follow God's will after God has revealed it to me, I'm so glad to know that even when the fear attempts to rise up, I'm so thankful to know that even in that moment, the Holy Spirit reminds me that I have nothing to fear, because God's will for my life, God's will for the life of this congregation, is better than any will that I can pursue on my own or that we can pursue as a congregation. Evangel Heights United Methodist Church, it's about following Jesus Christ. It's about seeking the will of God for us. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's about being obedient to the Word of God. I don't know what God has planned for us, except this is what I do know. God wants us to seek after God's will. That's what I do know. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what God is going to interrupt in our life as a congregation. So that we can be fearlessly obedient to God's plans for us. But what I do know, as your pastor, I will seek nothing less than God's will for us as a community of faith. The chosen one, Jesus, has shown us and demonstrated to us that when we seek after and are obedient, when we are obedient to God's will, when we trust God, no matter what, God will be faithful. Loving God, it's a new day. It's Palm Sunday. Thank you for Jesus, our example of what it means to follow you at all costs. Give us the longing and the desire as individuals and as the corporate body of Jesus Christ to do the same. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.